12:15 in News Radio 560 KPQ. I'm only laughing because I tried to talk to you as if I didn't need a microphone. I'll just communicate with everyone at the same time. Hello! Who's that fellow shouting? He's down the street at KPQ. 55 degrees in Wenatchee. It's a little gray out there right now, but consider this. Do you hear that? Let's listen together. What is that noise? What is that noise you're hearing? I know what it is. It's spring, trying to be sprung. And I will give it today a C for effort, maybe a C plus, as spring is only partially sprung. I think you can tell that. Every year, somewhere between Jack Frost packing his bags and a heat wave is spring. Could be 3 days, could be 2 weeks, might be a month. Although spring that has not yet sprung, it's hard to define that. It's not like, it's like not knocking on the door, but expecting someone to answer. It's like applauding with one hand or inviting your coworkers over for an Elite Eight party. You have no food, no drink, and you have no TV, so there's that. But if you enjoy a few hours off in Wenatchee City Park, our recreational area, if you have a strip of green that greets you each day in your neighborhood, you should thank the Wenatchee City and Parks and Recreation Department because they create, fund, operate, beautify, mow, fertilize, water, trim, design, engineer, oversee, clean, replant, rethink, return, resurface, and remember all these important elements in each day of a public park or city facility in Wenatchee. So today we welcome our very special guest, Dave Erickson. He's president and CEO of the City of Wenatchee Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services Department. And he found a moment in his busy day to visit us here at News Radio 560 KPQ, casting an unapproving eye on our KPQ planter box where succulents come to die. And now, with no further ado, Dave Erickson from the City of Wenatchee. Hello. Nice to have you back, Dave.
Thanks, Michael. Glad to be here.
And thanks for bringing all these notes, because it's Friday and I don't really want to work, so I can just go off these points and we'll have a show. What do you think?
There you go. Sounds great.
How's life been over there? Now, if anybody's glad the snow's gone, you have to be among the most rejoicing.
Oh, absolutely. We are so tired of seeing the white ground and much, much would prefer that green coming back.
I did see a lot of the brine that you guys prepared this year. I could always tell what the condition my street was going to be in by how much brine was out that day.
Yeah, you can always tell if it's going to freeze the following evening if it gets sprayed with that.
I remember once there was someone here talking about it, and I said, what's in the mixture? He said, water. And salt. I go, oh, so it's that complicated, is it?
It's pretty technical.
Well, you guys have been preparing yourselves for spring. You got your shorts and your T-shirts and your shovels ready. And let's start with all the things that you're doing. What comes to mind if first thing on your desk that's part of the beautification plan?
Well, you know, first thing actually is rec programs. So spring is here. We have all of our sports camps, and we have hiking camp and day camps all next week. So that's a really good indication that spring's here with spring break.
And then they're going to be all over town?
They will be.
Everywhere.
Yeah. But the other thing is really you'll see construction activities happening. You'll see park maintenance guys out now, restrooms opening up. The park's just getting ready for everybody for the season.
I don't feel like swimming today. That's my own problem. I like to jump in warm water. But when will the pool be open?
Pool opens mid-June. It'll open a little bit before that for the Velocity Swim Meets in middle of August. I was actually just came from the pool, and there was a couple of ducks swimming around in it. So it hasn't been drained and cleaned yet, but we'll get there.
At least it has duck approval.
Absolutely. They love it.
Let's start with the skate park, which is actually right next to where the dog park is, right?
It is, yeah, the other side of the bridge from the off-leash area. And so just finished a 3-month-long design process where we had all the skaters in the community come out in force and really create the final design for the skate park. So now it's in final engineering. Hopefully we'll have construction starting in middle of May and have it open about the time school gets out, maybe 4th of July-ish or so.
So were you there when the skater showed up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What'd they tell you?
You know, they really liked the concepts that were created. So you'll see one of the bowls will be shaped like an apple, which will be unique for the valley.
Cool.
And a lot of great comments and feedback.
That's a great idea. I wouldn't have thought of that. I thought they would give you, this needs to be steeper. We got to stop over here. This is unsafe. Leave it. If it's unsafe, we want it.
Oh, there's always more desire than there is funding for.
Sure.
So we're putting in what we can build with the grant funding we have
in
available.
In fact, people see a park and they just assume, well, it's going to grow. It's there naturally. But to create a park or to create the support that would require the upkeep, you write a lot of grants and get money from all over the place to keep the park system going.
We do, yeah. Hale Park is pretty much all funded through grant applications. We've got a couple others that are upcoming, our Kenzie's Landing Project. We're just waiting for the state to pass our capital budget. Once they do that, then that'll be a $1 million acquisition development project, grant funded. We have a few others too. Kiwanis Methow Park, which is out to bid right now, and with bid opening coming up in, on April 18th, that's funded a lot with grants, donations, sponsorships. Of course, the city has some funding in it too. So that project is going.
Where's the Kiwanis Methow Park?
It is down on the intersection of Spokane Street and Methow Street, so right behind the community center, as you right before you hit the S-curves down there on South Chelan Street.
And the Kiwanis, I know, have had a number of fundraising projects going on this year to support the effort in that park. Why did they adopt that park, do you think?
You know, they picked it up as a service club project, I want to say back in the 1970s, maybe early 80s.
Wow.
That's something that they wanted to adopt and take on, and they've done things like created the basketball court, taken out some trees to increase or improve safety down there, did some fencing, drinking fountains, and the shelter. So they've actually done quite a lot of work over the years.
Of course, when I was a kid, we went to the park. You'd climb on monkey bars with no safety net whatsoever, built on cement.
Yeah.
No water. No restroom. Good luck. Anybody with a broken bone, just go home and tell your mom.
Right.
Broke my leg.
Or don't tell mom.
Or don't tell mom. But now a park is considered to be safe for children of all ages. You know, you can take a tumble and not hurt yourself.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of safety things that happen that you might not see. So all the playgrounds are inspected to meet ASTM, which is the safety standards. We have fall material underneath that cushions people's fall when they do drop off.
Sure.
And a lot of other considerations all throughout the park.
You mentioned Kinsey's Landing, and that's something I don't really know about it. You funded it with a grant, but where is it and what is it?
Yeah, so it's up on the north end of the foothills, and this will be an acquisition project. We're working with the Schlandiggles Land Trust to acquire the property, and we'll be developing a trailhead out in that area for about 12 cars. So the first step is, over the last couple years, we've been applying for grants. It looks like we'll be getting the grants. So you'll see folks out there doing our cultural resources assessment. So there'll be soil sampling, checking for any cultural resources that might be present on the site, as well as environmental assessments, which have to happen also.
You scan the ground to see if anybody's buried there or something?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so all of that will happen this year. It'll be starting in a couple of weeks. And hopefully the acquisition will occur then September, October of this year, and then we'll go into the engineering phase, which will start all of next year, and then you'll see construction the following year. So it's a long process.
There's always something going in your department, right? Always something.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, if I may be crass, how much do you have to raise to acquire that land?
Acquisition and development total is about $1 million.
That actually is not that bad.
Yeah, and that'll be grant-funded, and we're actually using a value of the property donation. The land trust will be donating a portion of the property to us as our grant match.
Great.
So it works out well.
Kinsey's Landing, that's going to be something to look forward to.
Yes.
Now, I can look right up and see Saddle Rock today. The clouds are not so low that it's obscured, and you got some plans. Well, you've had plans up there for quite a while. First, you did the parking lot last year,
mm-hmm.
and redid the parking area, but also the amenities, restrooms, right. And et cetera. What do you have planned now?
So now this is a Department of Ecology grant that we got to do a remediation of the waste rock piles up there. So back in the day, the gold miners went up and they looked for gold up on Saddle Rock. They dug a bunch of holes.
And they didn't care about anything else.
Pretty much. And then they put whatever, when they didn't find it, they put whatever rocks they could back in the hole, and then they walked away from and left the rest of the rock.
I'm surprised they restored the holes, for that matter.
Yeah, some of them aren't. Totally covered up yet, but so we ended up getting a grant from the Department of Ecology to fix all that. So what we're working on right now is the sampling and analysis plans and reports that are required. And later this summer, you'll see folks going up there, removing the waste rock piles and hauling those off and then restoring the habitat underneath. So starting April 8th, there'll be some ATVs up there, and those are the guys that are going to be doing the soil sampling. You'll know them. They'll have the bright orange vests on for now, and then later this summer when the actual big work happens, Saddle Rock will have to be closed during those times because of all the big, heavy equipment that will be coming and going.
When do you think it's going to be closed?
We think it'll be August or September at this point. That'll depend a little bit on the bids that we receive, but that's kind of the timeline. And then the restoration work would happen in October with topsoil being brought in and replanting with a native vegetation.
So when was this a place to look for gold? What year do you think?
Oh, boy. Some of the earlier claims went all the way back to the early 1900s.
I would think so, or yeah. Beyond.
And it was active all the way up until, well, the claims were active all the way up until the 1980s, early 1990s.
So what sort of waste comes from looking for gold?
It's rock.
Just rock?
It's rock.
Oh, it's not poisoned with anything?
No.
Or mercury or whatever?
No, they didn't actually do any of that, the physical mining or the treatment or anything like that up there. They just kind of dug holes and they looked for the veins that were there.
And that needs an ecological overview before it can be restored?
It does.
Because there might be something in there.
There might be, yeah.
But in your investigation, you're not finding anything?
Well, that's part of the work that's happening right now. Yeah.
Okay, well, remediate it. A lot of people start their day up there.
They do.
A lot of people go there several times a week, some of them, some of my friends.
And with the weather turning really nice, it's going to be very, very popular, very busy.
Okay, I won't mention that it'll be closed in August. How large is the cemetery, do you think? Do you know how many graves you have there?
I don't remember the exact number of graves. The total property, I think, is about 35 acres.
And are they still burying individuals there?
Yes. We have, on average, I would say about 5 funerals a week up at the cemetery. And that's maybe a combination of regular burials or placement of cremation remains.
Like an urn in a wall or something.
Niche walls or in the ground itself.
Didn't you tell me something about the city bought the cemetery at some time, or am I remembering that wrong?
Yeah, and I can't remember the date. I just had it last week. But yeah, the city
in
acquired
the time.
City acquired the cemetery. I think it was early 1900s. There was a cemetery. The cemetery was established, but it wasn't financially making it. And so then the city took it on, early 1900s.
Can't have a cemetery going out of business right in the middle of town.
That's a little challenging.
It's a bad sign.
It is.
Well, since you've owned the cemetery now for about 100 years, it must be getting close to being full. I don't know what the plans were, but how are you going to expand the cemetery?
Yeah, actually, we're working on an expansion project right now on the south end of the cemetery. So if you're driving down Western Street or driving north on Western Street and you look over to the left to see the cemetery, there's a section, the very first section before you get to the first gate. And that one is currently being plotted for additional grave sites. And we'll be doing a road project to improve that little gravel driveway that's there. And so that'll be paved and open up that entire area.
And do people call the city to acquire a plot?
Yeah, they call the cemetery directly.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So that's city-owned, but it's operated by its own management group or whatever?
It's through the Parks Department. So we have staff up there. We've got 2.5 full-time staff that take care of the cemetery and do everything from the sales to maintenance.
I see that you have an engineering group working on it. I just wondered, what do you need for a cemetery? You just need the room and maybe something to dig graves and a staff to maintain it.
Yeah, there's
security.
Quite a lot of record keeping too.
Record keeping. You want to know where everybody is, right?
Occasionally, that's a good idea. And then also the standards that you have to adhere to actually conduct the burials themselves.
You have to be licensed to conduct a burial, the city, or some sort of permit.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you actually have to have a permit. I'm assuming you would. That's something I haven't looked into yet, just because we've been operating the cemetery for 100 years. We just took it on in our department here 2 months ago. So we're still.
Oh, wow. So you're new.
Public Works has been doing it and operating it for years, and now it just transitioned over to our department. So.
I had a good question about a cemetery, but I think it's a sensitive subject, so I'm going to move on. Not disrespectful, just sensitive, okay?
Okay.
Chase Park has got a play area that you're concerned about, and engineering is underway for that project.
Yeah.
What does an engineer do when he first looks at a park? This is not level. This has got to be changed. This is wrong. That tree's got to go.
Yeah, it really depends on the project. So in this case, it's a sidewalk project. So we're going to be doing a sidewalk that connects the park as well as the playground. We'll be putting in a new playground and then also creating some ADA accessible picnic opportunities. So picnic tables that
you
can get
picnics.
To.
I like picnics. There you go.
And so really the first thing that we're going to be doing out there is surveying the park to get all the grades and everything. We don't have that base information. We'll be locating all the utilities and then laying out the concept plan, which was developed a few years ago with the input from the neighborhood. So then we'll go out, we'll get that all set and design the sidewalk and the concrete portions of it and then get ready to go.
I once interviewed a guy who worked for a city in California, and he said, you see this tree? It's called a ficus. It's destroying sidewalks all over America because cities were planting them everywhere because they're sturdy, but they also have very shallow roots, which completely destroy sidewalks in virtually every community where they went for the ficus routine. Yeah. Do we have any ficus growing on our sidewalks?
You know, we have some sidewalk issues that are ongoing. So the Downtown Association, I'm sure, can attest to that.
Well,
so.
Over time, your sidewalk changes. There's stuff under there, or there's less stuff under there, and the sidewalk sags.
It does, yeah. So we're in the process of annually we go through and we replace trees. So we'll pull them out and put in a more appropriate species. And also those trees, they tend to grow. So, you know,
imagine that.
It's a strange topic sometimes, but you put in a 2-inch round tree and eventually that 2-inch tree might turn into be a 16-inch wide tree. So that changes the dynamic of the sidewalk.
And although
it's
a slow process, the tree usually wins.
It tends to do that, right.
So sidewalks are expensive, aren't they?
They are, yeah. So pulling out sidewalks, I know we have about $80,000 in the city budget just to address tree issues, and that's in the parks as well as the downtown streets where we have street trees.
And is it true that you guys plant a lot of trees every year?
We do,
For whatever reason?
And we're working, you know, any of these park construction projects like the ones at Lincoln Park or MedHel Park or Chase for that matter, we plant trees as part of that project. So what we want to try to maintain and accomplish is to make sure that those parks are forested into the future. So those future generations of kids that go or adults that go to visit the parks have the shade underneath them.
This may seem like a strange question, but where do you get a tree when you want to plant a tree? What do you do?
From nurseries, yeah.
But you get the right one, right?
We do, right. It's always important to plant the right tree in the right situation.
Well, what has become the most popular tree now that we've got the ficus lesson out of our mind?
I don't know that there's really a popular one. I know our maintenance guys tend to like the Chancellor pear.
Chancellor pear? Really, yeah. A pear tree?
Yeah, pear tree. They flower. They don't drop a lot of fruit. And so that's a popular street tree variety. We have some scarlet oaks, scarlet
that's
maple.
That's a great name.
Bright red fall colors, things like that. So, it kind of depends on the situation where you're planting them.
So if you rake leaves in your own yard and you're a little bit resentful of the way nature brings leaves to your yard, just think of Dave's crew. They've got every tree in town to worry about.
There are some streets that have a lot of leaves that our guys pick up each year.
When you pick up the leaves, where do they go?
They go off to the mulch center.
And that mulch centers.
Yes.
So you can actually turn them into
mulch and reuse them.
Ha!
Yeah.
That'll show those leaves.
There you go.
Dave Erickson is our very special guest. He's the man in charge of the Parks and Rec here in town. We'll be back to talk further with him right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:37 with 55 degrees on a Friday afternoon. Waiting for the sun. It's sort of making an effort to come out. Things are getting scary. What I'm seeing is the mirrors on the trucks going by are shinier than they were a half hour ago. So that's my indication that the sun is making a last-ditch effort to show itself today. My very special guest is Dave Erickson. Dave is the head man for the City of Wenatchee Parks and Recreation and Cultural Services Department. Was that always the name of it, Cultural Services?
We added that in a couple years ago when we took over all the city art collection, maintenance, operation of that. So
you have guys who know how to keep art from eroding or fading?
We do, yeah. So we work with Adele Wolford, actually, with the Art on the Avenues, and she trained our staff on the proper ways of cleaning the sculptures. So you'll see the sculptures that are around town, all the city-owned ones now. Those get cleaned and polished every single year.
I thought that was the case. The one of the mama cougar with her kittens down here by Owl,
uh-huh.
That one really was shining the other day. So I noticed your work. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you bet.
Is there a trick to polishing them or just a...
There absolutely is, yeah.
Wouldn't you know it?
In fact, Adela's out there. You'll see her with dental tools kind of cleaning some of the grime away.
Wow.
And there's definitely a process and the special tools that you need to do it correctly.
This is why the average male goes to the hardware store 3 times during a weekend, because there's a trick to everything, and you don't learn it till you've been to the hardware store at least 2 or 3 times. Where's Rotary Park?
Rotary Park's up on Western, about 1310 Western Street, so kind of the intersection of more or less Western and Maple.
You guys are making some changes up there to the shelter area.
Yeah, Rotary Club for the last year has been working on adding a second picnic shelter out there. So they got the roof on last winter, and I know we're working on the electrical right now, so hopefully it'll be up and ready to go for use by the summertime. And then also a couple of changes to the splash pad out there. So the spray park is one of our most popular features that we have in any of the parks.
If you think you're too old for a splash pad, you just haven't tried one lately.
Especially on a hot day.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Find an excuse to watch your kids, grandkids, somebody out there.
That's where you take them, Rotary Park.
And so we have a couple of new spray features that are coming. So two of the older ones are being replaced, and I talked to the company yesterday, and they're supposed to be shipped today. So you'll see those when the park opens May 31st or Memorial Day weekend.
I think I talked to you once when you said that the kind of research you do is you look at the park on a nice sunny hot day and see, is anybody using it?
Definitely. Yeah, you can find out which features are most popular and which ones aren't and what needs work and what doesn't.
And do you ever see a beautiful park that's just got nobody in it? Probably not.
You know, occasionally, but sometimes that's a function of either the neighborhood or just kind of the weather, too.
You know, that's an aspect of parks that we don't think about naturally. You might think that a park would attract problems to your neighborhood, but it's just the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Trust for Public Lands has done quite a bit of study on the value of parks and what they bring. And actually, their study has shown that it raises property values, increases health of the residents in that general area, and a litany of other benefits.
And I may not be right about this, but it seems to me, as I watch my daughter with her first child, they go to the park a lot because kids have so much energy. And so if you have a nice park, the moms will tell you if it's working, right?
Oh, absolutely they will. They will go to those parks. I know with our kids, too, we did that, too. You went to all the parks.
Yeah, because the kids get tired of the same park.
Tired of the same one, right? And so you found the ones that were the favorites and the ones that weren't and all that. You know, one of our parks that's been discovered by a lot of moms here lately is Pennsylvania Park. So it's a little small neighborhood park, kind of more or less behind Jack in the Box here in town.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah, see, you haven't discovered it yet.
I've discovered Jack in the Box, but not the park behind it. I did that backwards. I should have discovered the park and then say, oh, there's a Jack in the Box right there.
There you go. And, you know, nice, big, mature shade trees, and it's got the wading pool there. So in the summertime, they come to that wading pool program. And it's a fairly quiet park, so it's one that moms really seem to enjoy.
That's a real gift to the mothers in our neighborhoods because they got to get that kid out of the house. Doesn't matter what the weather is. Put him in a park or take him to the park.
Yes.
Lions Locomotive Park seems to have a train involved with it. is it the train right down here on the river?
No, it's actually the one down by the bridge, the George Taylor Bridge.
Oh, yes.
And so right as you're headed across the bridge to go to East Wenatchee, it's right there on your right-hand side. And this last year, the Lions Club stepped up and said, hey, we would like to rename that park to Lions Locomotive Park because of all the work that we've done in the park over the years by putting the lights on the train and doing electrical work and things like that. So we ended up purchasing a new sign for the park with their name on it last fall. We have it in our office. We're just waiting to install it now that the weather is finally cooperating.
I see a picture opportunity.
Yeah, that'll be happening soon. Yeah. And we're actually partnering with the Lions Club to not only put in the sign, but then also do a nice planter around it so it'll beautify that area a little bit. And we're working potentially with an Eagle Scout. We have an Eagle Scout that's kind of interested in helping out with the planter side of it. So
great.
Next month or two, you'll see that sign going up and hopefully some flowers and things around it.
Do you use the same engineers and specialists when you transform a park? Same guys go in and say, we know what to do.
No, it varies from park to park. So typically what we'll do is we'll come up with the concept plan based on what the community has said they would like to see. We'll develop several different concepts for the park, narrow that down through an additional public information gathering process. We'll invite folks out and say, hey, what parts do you like? Do you like a Ferris wheel or do you like submarine rides, whatever it is in the park? And so we'll narrow it down, get that final conceptual plan, and then we'll either engineer that ourselves now or we'll contract that out, and so you'll have a variety of firms potentially involved.
What I like about the psychology of parks is if one gets a little left behind in terms of modernization, It's on the list to be fixed, and it's not enough, not well enough lit, and people are using it for nefarious schemes. As soon as you remodel it and light it well, the bad guys just find someplace else to go. They stay home on the couch. The park is reclaimed by the park users again.
Yeah, definitely. That's a big thing. Lighting, you know, visual security, so opening things up so people can see in. That's really important. In fact, our public works department just, I think today, finished a lighting project down on the Thurston Street underpass. Mm-hmm. I saw an email to that effect where they ran all new wires in that underpass. So there's a pedestrian walkway down there, and put in new LED lighting to brighten it up. And so hopefully any of the bad stuff that might have been happening down there now will discontinue.
No more operating under cover of darkness.
Right.
Good job. The Lincoln Park, did I mention Lincoln Park? I don't think I have.
Yeah, I think we talked about
Lincoln Park. Did we talk about Lincoln Park? Okay.
So again, kind of the background information. So for the last several years, we've gotten input through the South Wenatchee Sustainable Design Assessment Team, project.
You have a sustainable adjustment team, or what is
it? That was a project a couple years ago that brought, the city was awarded this contract to be able to do this plan, and it brought in designers from all across the country and to look at the South Wenatchee area. And so we took the input from that, also the South Wenatchee sub-area plan, our comprehensive plan process, and several other processes that targeted things for Lincoln Park, developed the conceptual plan for that, ran that through the park board process, and came up with a final plan. So now last year, we took that final plan and applied for three different grants from the state. One federal land and water conservation fund grant, a state Washington Wildlife Recreation Program grant, and a youth athletic facility account grant. So those three grants totaling about $1.3 million to improve the park. And it looks like all three will be successful.
Wow.
Those are just pending the state passing their capital budget later this year. So once they pass that budget, then we'll be able to get our grant contracts, do the surveying and engineering work, and then next year will be the final engineering, and 2021 you'll see a lot of improvements happening down there if everything is approved along the way. So that'll be a new picnic shelter. We're partnering with the Rotary Club again to do another picnic shelter.
Thank you, Rotary and Lions. Thank you.
Yes. Fiestas Mexicanas will be helping out. We're going to be doing a new stage, new restrooms, new playground, replacing the existing playground, which has kind of reached the end of its lifespan. Another splash pad down there.
Yeah,
and again,
those work.
Yeah, we talked earlier about trees, and so we'll be planting quite a few trees also. So there'll be a lot of upgrades, getting that park kind of back up to the standard that folks like to see.
Of course, you put in new flowers. You help with the probably refurbishing the lawn, all the new trees. Who waters and takes care of all those things? Can they last on their own without care?
Yeah, they're all with irrigation. So a couple years ago, Lincoln Park was converted over to from city treated water to irrigation waters. So that park is irrigated with irrigation water. It's an automatic irrigation system that our guys go out, they check it, they make sure everything is working regularly. We have maintenance guys that have specific parks that they're responsible for. So it might be one person goes out there, and that's their park, so they make sure everything is working right.
Because there's always one sprinkler head that shoots over to the guy's Corvair across the street, right?
That, and they tend to get vandalized like just about anything else. We've had people steal irrigation heads and stuff like that, so we respond to those.
I wonder what you do with an irrigation head once you finally got it out of the ground. Where do you go to make use of that?
It's a lot of work. We'd rather have them maybe pull weeds instead.
Do that. You'll feel better afterwards.
Absolutely.
Dave Erickson is our special guest today. He's the head man with the Recreation and the Parks and Recreation and Cultural Services Department. We'll be back to look at the parks one more time, because it's going to be 64 degrees tomorrow. Maybe you're going to get out of the house. Where are you going? Ah, I've got an idea.
Your series are in stock. From hammers and firearms to footwear and more, Stands is your everything store.
See the most at Stands. Stands Mary Mart.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
55 degrees and the time is 12:50 as well. This is News Radio 560 KPQ. Our show is called The Agenda, every day from 12:15 to 1 o'clock. And our special guest is Dave Erickson. He's the top man with the Parks and Rec and Cultural Services Department from the great city of Wenatchee. And he's the man who's in charge of beautifying and maintaining and expanding and refurbishing and re-engineering all the parks in town. So he deserves a standing ovation without much of a doubt. So our game is I will name the park and you tell us what to do there.
Okay.
Hale Skate Park. That's sort of a giveaway.
There you go. Skate.
Skate or take your dog down there to the other half, right?
Yep.
By the way, do people use that a lot with their doggies?
They do, yeah. You'll always see people down there in the off-leash area. And also coming later, probably next year, to that park will be a picnic shelter, playground, and also restrooms.
Good job. Kiwanis Metau Park.
That's going to be fully under construction. I wouldn't recommend maybe going there this year once construction starts, but wait till the end of the year, and it should be really fine.
The Saddle Rock Remediation Project.
That one's going to really create a lot of new habitat and trail for us, so new trail opportunities up there soon.
The expansion of the cemetery.
Well, people are just dying to get in there.
Chase Park Play Area.
Should have a new playground by the end of the year.
Kinsey's Landing, it's a brand new one.
Yeah, Kinsey's will be a new trailhead opportunity and an acquisition project you'll see develop over the next couple of years.
Rotary Park.
Rotary Park, brand new splash pad opportunities, so go check those out if you haven't done that before.
Lions Locomotive Park.
Nice new signs down there.
And the Lincoln Park renovation project.
Lincoln Park is on its way, so some much needed renovation work down there.
The city pool.
City pool should be opening right about the time school gets out and ready for the season.
And the spring and summer recreation guide available now.
Online everywhere.
Anywhere in the world.
Pretty much, yeah. So it's online on the city website, wenatcheewa.gov. You can also get to it from our Facebook page, and it's been delivered out to all the school kids in Wenatchee and East Wenatchee here lately. If you haven't got it that way, we also have them at various offices and locations around town.
You're all over, Dave. I'm not the least bit surprised, but you have definitely got it covered. Dave Erickson with the City of Wenatchee and the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services Department. Thanks a lot for all your hard work, Dave, and say hello to your crew. Each and every one of them deserves a standing O, as far as I'm concerned. And thank God spring is here, even though the sun hasn't come out.
Thanks, Michael.
Dave Erickson, we'll have you back again soon, okay? We'll talk about Saddle Rock or whatever.
Sounds good.
Our time is 12:53, Friday afternoon in News Radio 560 KPQ land. The weekend has begun.
Your News Radio 560 KPQ business and financial news. For more details, head to our website, KPQ.